Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Well, today, I hope you're ready for the word. Pastor Joseph, our lead pastor, is down in Texas. He was teaching at a conference down there, so keep them in your prayers as they're away. So you're stuck with me today. I hope you're ready for the word. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10 today, and I want to propose this story, and I want you to pay attention to the story, pay attention to where I'm going, because God does the old switcheroo sometimes. He's so God that he's multitasking at all times. So Mark chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 46, and it says this: "Then they reached Jericho." Now, if you're taking notes, you might want to underline or highlight that word "they." We're going to come back to that in a minute. "Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' 'Be quiet,' many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now, before I dive into this text, I want you to see something, because I started thinking about this beggar and how this beggar was yelling and how the crowd at this point had a problem with his vocal cords this day. And the interesting thing is if you're a beggar, how else do you get someone's attention? How else do you get change? I mean, his whole life had been spent on the side of the road, shaking a cup, saying, can you spare some change? See, anybody have a couple dollars? Can anybody spare me some change? And what's interesting is the crowd at this moment tells him to just be quiet, stop asking for stuff. But here's what I've learned. You see, the enemy has no problem with you begging for stuff as long as you're not begging for God. See, he'll even often encourage you begging for stuff to keep you in a broken state. Just keep begging. Just keep begging. Just keep begging. The enemy has no problem with you begging for this and begging for that, begging for shoes, begging for a house, begging for a Netflix and chill person, begging for some likes on social media, begging for someone to come fill some voids in your life. The enemy has no problem with you begging for stuff as long as you're not begging for God. But I wonder, is there anybody here this morning that's done begging for stuff to say, "I just want you, God"? Is there anybody who's ready to let the world know that we're not going to be silent about the things that God wants us to shout about? Let's keep going. Verse 49. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." And so they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." So Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. He jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked, which I think is kind of interesting, because kind of funny. You know you're savage when you can ask a beggar, "What do you want?" Like, that beggar could have said anything at this moment. Like, "Can you give me a couple million? Could you hook me up, Jesus?" But Jesus didn't care. He's like, "I'm going to ask him anyway." "So what do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." And instantly, the man could see and follow Jesus down the road. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would open our eyes, God, to see more of you. Open our hearts, God, to draw more of you in. God, would you speak a word in season to each one of us? God, would you use your servant? God, speak through me, not my words, but your words. God, may we leave this place changed because we had an encounter with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, I love the miracle in this text, and I've read this text many times. And when blind Bartimaeus is typically preached about, we love that it's transformation happening. This man who was once a beggar is getting his sight back, which means he no longer has to be at the mercy of other people. He can now live a life of purpose because his blindness had been crippling him, keeping him on the side of the road. But now that he can see, he can work for a living. He doesn't have to be at the mercy of other people. He can now fulfill the call that God had on his life. And I love what the scripture is teaching, but I want you to understand something about Jesus. See, Jesus is so savage that class is always in session, right? That this miracle wasn't only a miracle for blind Bartimaeus, but it was another miracle in the making that most people miss because they're so focused on the one hand of what Jesus was doing that they don't see what he's doing in the backdrop. So do you remember when I started the scripture with then they and approached Jericho? I said we come back to the they. Well, let's go back to the they because Jesus is doing something that most people miss. So let's just go back a few verses. Mark chapter 10, starting verse 35. Then James and John, okay, now we know who the they are. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. See, they're asking Jesus for something too. He says, what is your request? And they replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. And for those of us who know scripture, we know this is the moment where Jesus addresses the guys and he says, look, hey, guys, what you're asking is a difficult thing. And they're like, no, we can do it, Jesus. And so Jesus is like, okay, but let me tell you something. Kings and officials lord their authority over you, but among you, it should be different. Whoever among you wants to be the greatest must become a servant to all. And really what Jesus is saying to them, if you want to be a leader, the way up is down. And see, what they didn't see was that Jesus was using this physical healing of a man who couldn't see in a natural way to demonstrate something to his disciples. That they had spiritual eyes that had been shut closed. See, that you thought this was only about blind Bartimaeus, but I am still dealing with my disciples, and so I'm using this man's healing to point a bigger picture in people's hearts. You see, because it's so easy for us to look at other people who can't see and not even realize that we're blind too. Now, I love that Jesus isn't dealing with lost people in this section. He's actually dealing with the blindness of followers of him. He's dealing with his disciples who had been with him, who had done life with him, who'd seen the miracles, sung all the songs, been to all the major events. So could it be possible that we have both eyes and still be blind? Because here's what I've noticed. Anytime you lose your ability to see, you gain the ability to need. Anytime you lose your vision, you can become a beggar. Anytime your eyes grow dim, you're going to be at the mercy of someone else. And when you can't see right, you're going to need a handout. Has anyone ever had the lights go out in their house, just like a power outage or something, just all of a sudden, boom, the lights go out? Like if it were to happen right now, just boom, the lights went out, we'd probably all be like, what's going on? Well, this actually happened a couple of weeks ago. We have our worship team rehearsals on Thursday nights here in the church. And so a couple weeks ago, we're all here. The worship team is getting ready. We're just about ready to start. And all of a sudden, just boom, the lights went out. There was nothing in here. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And so here's the first response when that happens, right? At least for me. Hey, honey. So when the lights went out, hey, honey, what do? I'm scared. Or when I was a kid, it was, Mom. Right? Like I'm always going to call for a woman because they know everything, right? Hey, I got to give them the benefit of the doubt because they always know where I'm supposed to go. They know where I'm supposed to park, how fast I'm supposed to drive. They're Siri before Siri ever came to be. You know what I'm talking about. And so the lights went out. Hey, honey, Maria, Mom! And really, what we're asking for is help. I don't know where I'm going. I've never been this way before. I can't see. I don't know if I'm going to make it through. Especially if it's an unfamiliar place, you're going to need the hand of someone else to help pull you, to clear some areas for you. And see, this is what happens when the lights go out. And some of you, the lights went out. You got a broken heart. Lights went out. You thought you were going to get married. You didn't get married. Lights go out. You were asking God for something. You didn't get what you thought you were going to get. And so lights go out. You thought your marriage was going to last longer than it did. Lights go out. You thought you were going to get the promotion. You didn't. Lights go out. You get the bad health report. Lights go out. Anytime there are significant events in our lives that don't go the way that we thought they would, immediately lights go out. And when you lose your ability to see, if you're not careful, you'll gain the ability to need. And if you're not careful with that need, you'll start needing things that will never fulfill. You'll start begging for things that will never satisfy. You'll start asking for certain seats at the table, forgetting that you're at the table. And what Jesus is saying is, hey, guys, you're Bartimaeus. You're the ones that are the beggars. You keep begging for validation. Jesus, can you spare some validation? I need to feel important. I don't feel important. Can you spare some validation? Can you spare some acceptance? I need some acceptance. Can you double tap my photo? I need to make sure that you can see me. I need a promotion. Can I get employee of the month? I need to fit in with that group. Can I sit at that lunch table? Can I just get some validation, some acceptance? Can you spare some? And see, some of you suffer from approval addiction. You keep waiting on people to approve what you're doing, and so you just, oh, come on, I'm going to preach it. Can I get some love? 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 Looking for love in all the wrong places. Just want some love. I just want to feel wanted. Just want to feel important. I'm tired of going through life alone. My time clock's ticking out. I need a handout. Can someone help me? You don't know what it's like to. It's so hard being a. Come on, government. Can you make some change? Someone, can you give me a handout? I need some. Change, but I love it because our God is so big, our God is so great that He always gives you more than what you're looking for. See, you thought you were just coming for some change, but God said, I was coming to bring you some real change. You thought you were just coming to see a show, but God said, I was coming to open up your lives. Is there anybody who's thankful that we got a God that doesn't just fill the cup, but He fills our lives? And so we're here in the context of this text. We didn't even realize it, that we were the ones that needed the healing. We were the ones that needed our eyes opened. You see, you're not gonna see things differently unless you do things differently. You're not gonna be a new you and see what God has for you unless you make some adjustments. So I'm here to tell you, there's some of you, your eyes have grown dim, but our God is passing by. He's passing through Jericho. He's passing through this place. And if you've got faith enough, you can hear Him moving. And as He's shifting, as He's moving, if you got legs, if you can hear Him, He's going to come to you. If you can yell out, He will come to you. But that means there's some things you're going to have to do, which leads me to my title. Whew. If you want to switch over from lights being dim to living a life of purpose, you're going to have to learn how to throw it off. Throw it off. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, throw it off. Throw it off, neighbor. Now, love it. I love it because blind Bartimaeus does something before he ever gets his healing, which is an announcement to us that if we want to walk in the fullness of God, there's some things we're going to have to do before our eyes can really be open. And so we see the context of this event happening, and blind Bartimaeus is there. And the first thing that he does when he hears that Jesus is passing by is he begins to shout. And the crowd tells him to shut up, to be quiet. But he's got to learn how to throw off the crowd in order to get close to God. You see, some of you, you have the crowd around you, and they're the ones suffocating you, keeping you in silence. And you wonder why your eyes aren't opening is because you're allowing the people around you to keep you broke. Well, we go way back. We're tight, so it's all right. It's just a bro thing. It's just a family member that doesn't do anything for Jesus. It's not a big deal. It's just a person who invited me, who isn't involved. And so you keep letting the people around you keep you broke because you're unwilling to throw off the crowd. But can I just tell you, there's some of you, you need to get some fight inside of you that says, I'm not afraid of what people think about me. I'm not going to allow the people around me to keep me limited, to keep me down, to keep me without purpose. I've come too far to let someone else decide how close to God I can get. You see, your breakthrough doesn't begin when your situation changes, but when you make the determination within yourself to say, I'm not blaming anyone, I'm not waiting on anyone, I don't need my situation to change. God, change me, God. You got to throw it off. You got to throw off the crowd. You got to chuck some people sometimes. They might be good to you, but they ain't good for you. See, sometimes we're too worried about our place and not focused on his position. We're too worried about our place and not focused on his position. And that's why blind Bartimaeus was able to get his healing, because he didn't care about the pecking order in the crowd. It's like, I'm not worried about my place. I'm focused on his position. You see, when blind Bartimaeus began to yell out, Jesus, Son of David, what he was doing is he's making an announcement to the people around him that Jesus isn't just a son from Nazareth, that Jesus isn't just a carpenter. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah that we've been waiting on. He is more than enough. He holds everything in his hand. So I'm not worried about my position. I'm not worried about my place. I know his position. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the great I am. He is more than enough. So when he is first place in my life, I ain't got to be anxious about anything, but I can take everything to God with prayer and supplication when he's first in my life. Yeah, he may not come when I want, but he is always on time. When he's first in my life, everything else begins to just fall into place. You got to learn how to throw off the crowd. And not only do you have to throw off the crowd, you need to learn how to throw off the coat. You got to throw off the coat. What's the big deal with the coat anyways, Pastor? I mean, they mention it in the Bible. Say he throws off his coat and he jumps up and comes to Jesus. Why'd they put the coat thing in there anyway? Well, let me give you some biblical history because I'm a genius at this. Google said this coat was significant. This coat was significant because of the Bible customs and the cultural climate of that day. That coat was a symbol. Matter of fact, that coat was government issued, and the only way that you could get that coat was that the government would realize and certify you a beggar. That the government would certify that you could not work. They'd certify that you could not contribute to the place where you can earn an income. And so the government would step in and they'd do an assessment of your life, and they would certify you a beggar and give you the special coat so that when people were walking down the road, they could identify who was being for real and who was just trying to hustle. So the coat, he's got this coat. And every day, he's reminded that his coat doesn't look like anybody else's coat. Every day, he puts on this coat and he's reminded that I've got nothing to contribute. I'm just a beggar. I've been certified this way. Some of you, you've been certified. You've been certified an addict because of some choices that you've made, and so now the government says you need some 12-step program. Some of you, you've been certified a liar. Some of you, you've been certified that you can't handle money because your bank account proves you're not good with finances to the point where Dave Ramsey wouldn't even take you on as a test case. Some of you, you've You've been certified that you can't manage relationships because they always end in failure. You've been certified that you can't do this and can't do that. You've been labeled this and labeled that. And you've been certified a liar, certified a gossiper, certified a complainer. But can I just tell you, you might be certified by the world, but our God is so good that he steps into the scene and he says, you may be certified, but I'm about to make you sonified. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. You may be certified, but I'm going to make you sonified. You see, even if no one ever knows my name, there's a God who knows my name, and I am more than enough in him, so I'm not going to let what the world says I must have to be who God says I already am. You see, the world might say you're a beggar, but you've got another coat. You've got a coat of righteousness. You've got a coat of favor. You've got a coat of grace, a coat of belonging. So yeah, your daddy might have called you this, and your classmates might have called you that, but God calls you chosen. God calls you favored. God calls you to die for because you are his. So blind Bartimaeus gets sick and tired of being sick and tired. He gets sick and tired of showing up at the same place every day, just at the mercy of what someone else is going to do for him. And some of you, your eyes have grown so dim that you just show up. You just show up to work. You just show up to your marriage. You just show up to church. Some of you, you don't even realize it, but you're just at the mercy of what someone else is gonna. And so you got your cup and you come to church and the pastor gives a great message and you take your couple of coins and go back home, but then you're broke again by Tuesday. It held you over for a little while. That's why some of you come in during the worship and they're singing the songs and it feels like this weight got lifted off your shoulders. You're like, oh my goodness, God, how great is your love for me? My God, he loves me. And then you go back home and you get on social media and the world doesn't. And so you feel loved for the three songs, but now you're back to. Maybe that thing will fill me up. Maybe that person will make me feel validated. You don't know what it's like to be alone. Those pain pills, they just take away the pain. Can you give me some? Can you spare some? That's why not only do you got to throw off the crowd and throw off the coat, but while you're at it, you might as well just throw the cup. Might as well just get rid of that cup. Now, I can only imagine this beggar, that cup probably meant a lot to him. It was his source. It's how he was able to eat his nightly meal. It's how he was able to purchase the blanket that he was sleeping with. It's how he was able to survive. And this cup was almost like a part of him that if he were ever to lose the cup, he'd be like, oh, oh my, what am I gonna, where am I gonna? That's what some of you do when you lose the thing. Well, if they leave, what am I gonna? If I don't have, then what am I gonna? If I don't go there, then what is it going to be like? Because my life has been so wrapped up in the routine, in the religion, in the activity. You see, some of you are saying, I just don't understand. How come every time I get into a relationship, they leave? How come every time I find validation in that thing or that person, it ends up failing me? Because here's why. It's just a nickel. And so you think, well, I'll just keep looking for a man that will help me, but he ain't got nothing. He's just a nickel. And so you think, well, that thing or that person is going to complete me. It's going to fill me up. And so you try to be filled by that thing. But the more you try to be filled, the more empty you feel because a penny isn't worth much at the end of the day. You think, if I can just get enough likes on social media, maybe then I'll feel something. If I just drink enough, maybe then I'll feel something. But can I just tell you, all those likes is just a nickel. All that alcohol is just a nickel. All that stuff, the promotion is just a few coins. You're still going to have to beg tomorrow. You got to get to the place where you're willing and you're able. And it takes a lot of courage to throw the cup. And some of you are like, I don't have a cup. I don't have a cup. Oh, really? You don't have a cup? Your cup might not look like, but it looks like this, though. Fill me up, Facebook, fill me up. You know what a like is? It's just a nickel. And so he posts, having a good time. Someone, please acknowledge it. Lost 5 pounds. Join my fitness journey. Someone, please notice. Make me feel like I'm making a difference. I went to church this weekend. I took some pics. I posted them. I showed up. Someone, please notice that I showed up. And you keep expecting people to put something in your cup. And God said, if you want what I got for you, it can't fit in a cup. I didn't come to fill a cup. I came to fill your life. I came to give you the ever-present Holy Spirit to dwell up in the inside of you. So, I mean, how many more weekends are we going to come to church like this? Before we say, Jesus, you've already done so much in my life. I don't need all that other stuff. You see, when you realize that you've got Jesus, you don't need some change. What God wants to do in the cup can't be contained in the cup. You see, the last time I checked, my God is a pressed down, shaken together, overflowing type of God. The last time I checked, he is the cup that doesn't run dry. The last time I checked, he is an amazingly, exceedingly, abundantly above all I could ask, think, or imagine. He didn't come to fill a cup. He came to give life and light more abundantly. He doesn't want to just fill the cup. He wants you to live in the overflow of his grace, where people get their cup filled with the stuff that's falling off your life. And there's two of us here today. There's a group that, if we're honest, we've let life make our vision grow dim. We've let circumstances and obstacles keep us from doing what God has called us to do. And so we make excuses of why we can't and why we're too busy. But can I just tell you, there is someone who's just as busy as you, with more problems than you, still finding a way to keep God in first place. Still finding a way to serve in Crossroads Kids. Still finding a way to greet you at the door in the morning. Still finding a way to serve God. So let's eliminate the excuses and see what God can do through you. There's another group. There's another group that you've been living your life currently like this. Just expecting people, expecting promotion, expecting stuff to fill some holes in your life that can only be filled by God. You know, there's a parallel story in John chapter 4. And there's this lady there. It's the woman at the well. You might know this story. She comes to the well and Jesus is there. And Jesus asks her for some water. And she's like, why are you asking me for water? And Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for water. I'd give you living water. It'd be like a perpetual spring that never runs dry. She says, well, I want some of that. And so, long story short, she says, hey, the Messiah is coming. And Jesus says, I am he. And she leaves her bucket at the well. Because she realizes, I don't need a bucket. I am a bucket. I've got the living water inside of me. I don't need to keep coming back. So it's so easy for us to see the miracle that God is doing in someone else's life, and not see the miracle he's doing simultaneously in our lives. Now, I wonder if the disciples got it. I wonder if they got it. I wonder if after walking with Jesus, Jesus was like, hey, guys, the greatest among you must become the least. And I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And Jesus is making this announcement. And really what he's saying is, y'all are blind. You keep begging for change. You are the change. You keep begging for change. You are the change. What I want to see in this world is going to happen through you. What I want to see in the church is going to happen through you. What I want to see in your family is going to happen through you. So stop begging for change. You are the change. You are called. You are chosen. You are my masterpiece. Stop waiting on a move of God. You are a move of God. And I wonder if the disciples got it. I wonder if when Bartimaeus' eyes were open, theirs were open too. Here's the thing. If the enemy really wanted to destroy you, he wouldn't have taken your vision. He would have taken your hearing. See, the Bible said that Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by. The last time I checked, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm here to serve notice to the devil that you might have took this, but you didn't take that. God will always give you something to get up out of your situation. He heard that Jesus was passing by. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you've got ears, if you can hear, if you've got a voice, if you've got legs, it doesn't matter what you don't have or what you lost. If you can get up out of your old dead self, there's no mountain, there's no valley, there's no darkness that's going to keep you from your breakthrough. You gotta throw it off. Throw off the crowd. You gotta throw off the coat. You gotta throw the cup. Some of you this morning, you're gonna realize that I don't need the cup, because God is the water that never runs dry. God is always working in all things to bring good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Our God is working. Our God is with you. Our God is for you. Our God is powerful. He's the God of salvation, the God of forgiveness. He's the God of breakthrough. He's the God of miracles. If I could have everyone stand. If you're here this morning and you're saying, I'm tired of filling my cup with stuff. I'm tired of filling my cup with the coins, with the nickels. I want the living water that lives inside of me. If that's you today, we're going to pray a prayer together. You see, I mentioned it before. It's not about being a better Christian. It's about having a new life. It's about being made new. Being alive in Christ. So we're going to pray this prayer together as a family for the benefit of those who may be praying it for the first time. And it's not some magical words. It's a conversation between your heart and God. Just inviting Him into your life. So with every head bowed, with every eye closed, would you just repeat after me? Heavenly Father, today, I give you my life. Would you be the living water inside of me? Change me. Make me new. Forgive me of my sins. Today, I give you my life. I am yours, and you are mine. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, would you just lift up your hand? We don't want to embarrass you. We want to come. I got you. Awesome. Yes. I got you in the back. So God, I thank you for your grace. God, I thank you that you are the God that holds everything together, that there's nothing out of your control, God. That you are working in all ways. You work in the triumph. You work in the tragedy. You work on the mountain. You work in the valley. We thank you, God, that when we do go through the valley, that you are the God that is right next to us. And though we might be walking through the dark time, through the storm, through the trial, we know that you are working inside of us in that time, and we will come out greater and better for it. And God, we pray that you get the glory when it comes to be. Because it's not about us. It's all about you, God. Give you all the glory, the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.